Well, out here at radio station WTSB, we've got a secret treasure. His name is Tom, and his, my goodness, one of my very best friends, Tom Joyner. And Tom is a secret treasure. And if anybody can make sense of what's been going on in the news the last day or two or three, it's Tom Joyner. Tom, that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm proud to have you on the airwaves of WTSB.
Thank you, Carl. The polls that the mainstream media keep reporting are laughable. This morning's poll said that the public is split on the job performance of President Trump. 46% approve, 48% disapprove. Since even before Trump assumed office, liberal Democrats and the liberal mainstream media have thrown every obstacle possible into Trump's path. Frankly, it's pretty miraculous that the man has been able to get anything done. Obstructing our president, be they Republican or Democrat, is dangerous to this country. Now, Donald Trump believes that the Obama administration had his phone in the Trump Tower tapped during the campaign. He offered no proof of that, but that's what he's asking Congress to determine. There was no outcry when the Democrats accused the Trump camp of colluding with Russia without evidence. They should get to work getting to the bottom of it. By all means, we should insist upon an independent prosecutor, as well as Congress, to investigate Democratic accusations about any possible tie between the Trump camp and Russia. And that investigation should include President Trump's accusation that the Obama White House was tapping his phones. Let's get it out. Get it all on the table. But this time, once the truth is known, let's hold the guilty party's accusations up to the light and not let them off the hooks. Barack Obama is not guilty of tapping Trump's phone. He is not an idiot. Obama depends upon his Iranian Muslim advisor, Valerie Jarrett, for the underhanded dealings. That way, they can deny his involvement. Anyone who does not believe that the dirty tricks come from Jarrett ignores her history. By the way, Valerie Jarrett just moved into the Obamas' rented home so that she can continue that vendetta against the Trump administration. I said all along that Donald Trump was not a career politician, or he would have known not to trust Obama or the congressional Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. As long as these devious people can keep our focus on their tawdry accusations against the Trump administration, they obstruct the president and his agenda. Then the media reports that Trump's White House is in disarray. They're not in disarray. They are busy trying to get this country back on track while they are fighting off this feverish nonsense that liberal Democrats keep bringing up. The petty and devious behavior of career Democratic politicians was on full display last week and should be an embarrassment for every American who has ever listed themselves as a Democrat. The call for Jeff Sessions to resign as Attorney General is just another attempt by career Democrats to undermine the Trump presidency, and it's costing the American taxpayer every time these zealots demand outside investigations. They have no evidence to justify these ridiculous charges, but it also costs them nothing to make the charges. And so they continue to obstruct and delay. Democrats called for Attorney General Sessions to recuse himself from any investigation about Russia's activities during the presidential campaign. But Sessions had already decided to do that. So then the Democrats began calling for him to step down from office. That won't happen. They know it won't happen, but all of their whining allows the media to continue denigrating the president. Remember when you told your mama that you had done something wrong, but it's okay because somebody else did it first? Do you remember when your mother told you that that was no excuse for your own behavior? Democrats need to talk to their mamas. Last Wednesday, the far left's Whoopi Goldberg and her cohorts, all confirmed liberal Democrats, spoke about the widow of the slain Navy SEAL, Ryan Owens. They mocked President Trump's recognition of Chief Owens' wife. How despicable can a human being be? Goldberg and other liberals celebrated when Hillary Clinton's campaign trotted out a Gold Star father to castigate candidate Trump, and continued to use that pitiful man for campaign appearances, and yet they accuse President Trump of using a Gold Star widow for publicity. This fallen Navy SEAL deserved the recognition, and his widow's grief deserved to be shared with those of us that he served and protected. The career Democrat politicians have no conscience, and Goldberg represents the very worst of Hollywood's so-called celebrities. Last Tuesday evening, President Donald Trump delivered before Congress one of the most powerful speeches in my memory. He put the lie to those who say he isn't presidential. The speech laid out the agenda that the American people elected him to implement. And at the same time, he offered an olive branch to the Democrats. The Democrats in the chamber, with few exceptions, bit the olive branch and spit it back at him. They embarrassed themselves by sitting on their hands, even when the president said things that all Americans can agree upon, such as better treatment for our veterans. When Ronald Reagan ran for president, the Democrats tried the same old tricks. They called Reagan a drugstore cowboy. They tried to scare the American people by claiming that Reagan was trigger-happy and that he would start a war. It all turned out to be wrong. But that did not stop the partisan Democrats from trying that tactic once again. Trump does not want war, but he is savvy enough to know that our enemies hate us, and should they start a war against us, he intends to have our military ready to meet the challenge. Our Navy has been allowed to become weaker than before World War II. Our troops lack the firepower to deter aggression by our enemies, and that has to change, and it will change with this president. Donald Trump is our duly elected president. Democrats don't have to love that idea, but they have a duty to the American people to love their country more than their party. Trying to keep this president from making America great again so that they can regain political power is petty, spiteful, and dangerous. So what should Democrats do? They should send the message that they are willing to compromise with this president and work for the good of America. They should stop the petty whining and developing negative talking points for their followers to recite. This is common sense. Listen carefully, and you'll hear Democrats using the same negative talking points. They follow the idea that if you repeat something often enough, people will come to believe it, even the most blatant of lies. Our country is ill-served by partisan Democrats who throw obstacle after obstacle into the path of this president. They began that practice even before he took office. They want nothing less than for Donald Trump to fail. But where does that leave the country? If Trump fails, we have lost another 4 years that we cannot afford to lose. The Democratic Party has been hijacked by a far-left element in that party. One of the reasons that Hillary Clinton lost to Trump was that the Democratic Party was sorely divided. They are still divided. The far left of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren drug Hillary to the far left herself and cost her the votes needed to win. We must search our souls. Do you really want open borders? A one-world government? Wasteful giveaways? A weak military? Refugees pouring into our country that we know nothing about? More political correctness? Attacks on free speech? That is what the far-left Democratic Party stands for. It is foolish And again, it is dangerous. Never before in the history of the United States has the divide of our people been greater. Political opportunists have worked diligently to turn rich against poor, men against women, blacks against whites. Let's take this one at a time. The constant assault against people who have worked to become rich is straight from the communist Saul Alinsky's playbook for liberals. The great majority of rich Americans did not inherit riches. They worked, planned, sacrificed, and struggled to reach the point where they can be maligned as rich people. Now, I grew up about as poor as it gets, but I was never taught to hate or even envy people who had achieved the American dream. On the contrary, I was inspired by those people to work harder, plan better, and never stop struggling to reach my goals. Obviously, there are a few people who are rich because someone left them riches, but that someone had to make those riches before they could pass it on. Likewise, there are a few people who got their riches through devious means. The Kennedy family comes to mind, because their riches spawned from Joseph Kennedy and his bootlegging adventures during Prohibition and his manipulation of the political landscape. Not every one of us is destined to be materially rich in America. Some people are content to be rich through relationships and other non-material things, and they are good and decent people to be respected. Unfortunately, we have come far too many people in our country in recent years who blame others for their lot in life rather than themselves. The mainstream media fans the flames of envy. Constant stories about income inequality are a staple for them. We are a capitalist society, a country where you are limited only by your ambition and dedication to succeed. In a communist society, we are told that everyone is equal and rewards are evenly spread, but that's a lie. Communism has never succeeded despite its many tries. The people in control in communist countries get all the riches and the rest get the leftovers. Under capitalism, each of us has the opportunity to succeed. Some will have the drive and the determination to separate themselves from those who lack the drive and determination needed to keep pace. How naive is it to believe that everyone should get the same share of one if one works harder and smarter than someone else? Well, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock back in 1620. They came ashore with the benefit and belief that they would all receive equal shares of whatever was produced. They would have reached utopia. It did not take them long, however, to see that some were willing to work harder. Some would put in minimum effort, and some would not work at all. There was no way to continue with income inequality. Or rather, with equality. It was inequal. The Pilgrims became capitalists to achieve fairness. One afternoon several years ago, I had a former professor call my radio program from Chapel Hill, a place known for its liberal views, and he argued that everybody should share equally. I posed a hypothetical question to him that went like this. Let's say that two people report to pick cotton. One arrives early and leaves late. That person takes a half-hour lunch break to eat a sandwich. The other person arrives late and leaves early, taking a long lunch break followed by a one-hour nap. Are you suggesting, I said, that they both should be rewarded for their efforts equally? The caller said, yes. I bidded him farewell and sought a sane caller on another line. There will always be income inequality in a capitalist system. Some will pursue education, develop good work habits, shun drugs, and work tirelessly, making many sacrifices along the way. Others will demand the right to drop out of school, never develop good work habits, and work more to get out of work than to work. How on God's earth can their incomes be equal? Then there's the issue of men versus women. Radical feminists created that division. In my world, I see men and women as equals and subject only to their abilities. I have one sister, one wife, one daughter, two granddaughters, and one secretary who's been with me for more than 30 years, and I only want the best for them. There are still a few men stuck in the past, but a smart, dedicated woman will accelerate past them. Again, equal pay for equal work is in the eye of the beholder. The job description may be the same, but how one completes that job can be, and usually is, totally different. Sometimes men are better and sometimes women are better. But to demand an employer pay the same wages because of the job title is wrong. And that brings us to the divide between black and white Americans. That is exasperated by race hustlers like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Barack Obama did his part in naming two attorney generals whose racism knew no bounds. I find it odd that there are some calling Trump out for not speaking more quickly against anti-Semitism, when Obama refused to condemn violence in black neighborhoods and gave Muslim extremists a pass by treating them like petty thieves. He refused for 8 years to even acknowledge that Islamic extremists were a danger to this country. Speaking out against Islamic extremism is not condemning the religion. If someone is a follower of Islam, but not an extremist, then they are not included in those who are Islamic extremists. If I was a peaceful Muslim, I'd want the world to know that, and I'd condemn the extremists who see their religion as a command to kill infidels and dominate the world. All of us got to America's shores from somewhere else. My ancestor came here from Dorset County, England, as an indentured servant. Thus began our family line in America. It was not one of rank or privilege. I have no idea what my ancestors did prior to 16-year-old Thomas Joyner's voyage to America. Were any of my ancestors thieves or murderers 500 years ago? Not that I can identify, but there is no way to be sure who was good and who was bad. That means that black Americans also have no idea what their ancestors did with their lives 500 years ago. There were cannibals and headhunters in Africa over the centuries. There were tribal chiefs raiding other tribes, killing some, capturing other villagers to sell to slave traders. The history of Africa is surely as replete with atrocities as the United States. And yet, white Americans living today are expected to pay some sort of penalty to black Americans, as in reparations. America's white people, who had no hand in slavery more than 100 years ago, are called to account by opportunists who seek to profit from the abominable sin of slavery. These opportunists fail to account for the acts and deeds of their own ancestors, but demand that white Americans be held responsible for their ancestors. Even when we look back at history of those we call Native Americans, we find cruelty and barbaric behavior among the different Indian tribes. They raided each other's villages. They stole horses and supplies belonging to another tribe. They took prisoners, executed some, and turned others into their slaves. My point is that none of humanity is free from guilt and sin. Therefore, we, as individuals today, owe nothing for things that happened centuries ago, blacks, whites, nor Native Americans. When we see the hate leveled against Donald Trump with just a few weeks into his presidency, any rational person has to be appalled. Liberal extremists call for his impeachment when he's done nothing to be impeached for. To date, every single one of Trump's initiatives have been the same promises he made to the American people during his campaign. Democrats at the time believed the mainstream media's polls, which said that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in over Trump, and so they took him for granted. They had the campaign at the ready, the balloons hung high, ready to drop with a multi-million-dollar fireworks display. And then they watched in amazement as the American voters sent Trump to the White House instead of Hillary. In the fantasy land of liberalism, that just confirmed their opinion that the average ordinary American was too ignorant to be trusted with a vote. They, liberal America, had to step in to save us from ourselves. How do you feel about being considered ignorant? Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta's emails showed that Hillary hated the average, ordinary American. The losers had to unite to throw every obstacle possible into Trump's political road. They never considered, at the very least, trying to work with the people's choice for president. Several career Democratic politicians said openly that they would not even talk with the president or support anything that he put forward. Think about that for a moment. How can people who are supposed to be adults exhibit such juvenile behavior? Aren't they telling us that if Trump were to appoint Democrat Chuck Schumer to his cabinet, they would not support it? Out front was Maxine Waters. She is somebody elected by her district in California to the House of Representatives, the same liberal state that elected Nancy Pelosi as the leader of Democrats in the House, the same liberal state that provided the votes for Democrats to claim that Hillary won the popular vote. Sure she did, with the overwhelming majority of those votes coming from California, a far-left state that is hopelessly in debt and who follows a governor named Moonbeam. Now, let's assume that Maxine Waters is just a member of the rank and file in the House. Surely the leader of the Democrats in the House would show more maturity and common sense. Not so with White House, or rather House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. This is the top Democrat in the House of Representatives. She told us that they had to vote for Obamacare in order to find out what was in it. In mid-February 2017, Pelosi said that she had not found anything proposed by President Bush that she could support. But Bush had not been president for more than 8 years. If you and I know that Donald Trump is president now, should the leader of the Democratic Party in the House not know that? The Democratic leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer from New York, has nothing to hang his hat on either. While he was running for his first term in the Senate, Schumer's camp sent out flyers warning New Yorkers that if Schumer was not elected to protect them, rednecks from the South would be coming north to harm them. If you live in the South, as I do, have you ever considered going north to harm people who live there? Schumer was trying to get the Jewish vote by making the Jewish population fear rednecks from the South. It was a devious lie, and Schumer knew it to be a lie, but it helped get him elected. What exactly has President Trump done to warrant this united hate against him? Not a single thing that he did not promise to do while running for office. For the moment, he wants to seal our borders and allow in only those who offer us no harm. He wants to expel illegal aliens among us who have committed crimes in the United States. He wants to do away with sanctuary cities where illegal aliens go to hide from authorities. He wants to do whatever it takes to assure that our jobs remain in America rather than being sent out to countries that undercut us. He wants to stop illegal alien labor that take jobs from American workers and drive wages down. Trump wants to make our military the strongest in the world again, after 8 years of Barack Obama's distaste for our military. The world understands military might, and it keeps us safe. When we are weak, our enemies salivate. After Obama, our Navy is decimated and troop morale at an all-time low. Our troops in the field see the way our veterans have been neglected, and they have to wonder what their supreme efforts will mean. Trump proposes to honor the veterans and make sure their medical care is the best available in all things. Which do you agree with? The Liberal Democratic Party opposes Trump without concern for these individual goals. To them, it's a matter of politics, greed, and power. If they can destroy him, his promises and our hope for change disappears. Barack Obama did everything in his power to escalate Islam over American interests. He reinvigorated Iran, a country that was on its knees financially, by giving them money to recover. His Iranian advisor, Valerie Jarrett, engineered a complete revival of Iran's designs to destroy the nation of Israel and to oppose the great Satan, the United States. It was Barack Obama, not Donald Trump, who tried to appease his far-left base by pulling our troops out of Iraq too quickly. Foolishly, Obama told the enemy, ISIS, exactly when our troops would be leaving. His military advisors warned him that if he pulled the troops at that time, ISIS terrorists would fill the void. And that's exactly what happened. The growth of ISIS can be contributed directly to Barack Obama. Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton are all the puppets of multi-billionaire George Soros. They march to his drumbeat. It is Soros who is financing these protests and upheavals in America. It is Soros who has said that he will finance the efforts of the left to tie up the courts to prevent the removal of illegal immigrants. The true damages of allowing George Soros to remain in this country to foment hate and division will be apparent as we move forward. We have Democrats saying they don't trust Trump, but they don't believe a word he says. Is it a bit early to make those determinations? A steady diet of left-wing newspapers and television like CNN warps public opinion. Recently, a Saudi clerk said that, said that Muslims had the right to eat their women if faced with starvation. He was deadly serious. I have never understood why American feminists have not risen up in outrage against the Islamists who consider women on a par with cattle. These Muslim extremists are locked into the 7th century and refuse to move beyond it. Islam is a movement for men. They dominate and they control when it comes to women. If you're a woman in Muslim countries, men are free to beat you, demand sexual services from you, and in some instances, kill you. Honor killings are practiced in the Islamic world. If a woman is raped, for instance, she is to blame, not the rapist. After all, he's a man. In order for a woman to prove rape, she has to have 4 men testify that they observed the rape. How ludicrous is that insanity? First of all, it's unlikely that 4 men observed the rape, and secondly, why did none of the 4 try to interfere? Moreover, if a Muslim woman is raped, her family members are free to kill her because they have lost honor. Such is the world of Islamic rules and law, and such are the people that Donald Trump is trying to keep out of our country. While we have to seal our southern border and stop the onslaught of illegal aliens from Mexico, we have far more to fear from Muslim countries where Islamic extremists plot to kill us. I am at a loss to understand why followers of Islam, who tell us they are peaceful and not extremists, don't separate themselves from the Islamic extremists. If I was a Muslim, I'd want to do that. We live in an increasingly dangerous world. We cannot let down our guard for a moment, be it from illegal immigrants on our southern border or from Islamic extremists. Those who deny the danger of both are the most dangerous of all. Carl?
Yes, sir. Thank you there, Tom, for a great commentary today. And I certainly want you to keep on talking to us if you have time. Anything else you have on your mind today?
Now, Carl, I'm just, it has become so frustrating and so irritating for the media and for the leaders of the Democratic Party to keep bringing up all this outside stuff. You know, Trump had a marvelous speech the other night. It was terrific. And the reports from all around the country were coming in, including Democrats. And they were saying that this was a marvelous speech and they liked his agenda. Now, when that happened, Democrats like Pelosi and Schumer went ballistic. They had to get that off the front burner. They didn't want people thinking about that speech. What they wanted was to put Trump on defense again. And so they came up with all of this muckety-muck about Russia. Listen, nobody should object to an independent prosecutor looking into anything between Trump and Russia. But at the same time, they should be looking into Hillary Clinton and Russia and Barack Obama and Russia. There's much to be seen there. And they should be looking into what, if anything, the Obama administration did during the campaign. Did they tap Trump's phones? If not, how did they get the information that they've been using here lately? So this is so frustrating. We need to get on with the business of this country. Give Donald Trump 2 years to try to put his agenda in place. Then you can say whether it was good or bad. Then you can agree or disagree. But with a few weeks in, for Democrats to be saying he's the worst president in the history of the country shows their ignorance.
It does. Well, Tom, I thank you for a great commentary today. If there's anything else on your mind, we'd certainly like to give you the opportunity to present that. But I want to thank you for the hard work you do, the research you do here. And I have waited all day long to hear this commentary, and I think it's been well worth it.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that very much. And let me say once again that I want to salute some folks who have been in my camp all along and have shown me that in their when they speak to me and write to me or whatever. And that's Jim and Faye Weaver. And they live in Four Oaks. And I know that Faye has been a little under the weather. But this too shall pass. I appreciate every single soul who tunes in to your station on Mondays and all through the week. But on Mondays, I try to deliver the truth. I have no axe to grind with anybody. I only want what's best for the United States. And Carl, God bless America.